and share God's word. I want to say this, though. How many of you have been in an awkward situation? And what I mean by that is that just recently, oh, a couple months ago, I was having some coffee in a coffee house. And it wasn't, what's that one there on DuPont and Auburn? Yes, it wasn't that one. All right. No names given. But anyways, it was a coffee cafe. And as I was talking, I ended up looking up, and there walking beside by my table was my son's ex-fiance. You see, 6 months prior, they gave up, or they basically called off the wedding. And that's okay. That's what, by the way, that's what it's all about, an engagement. But again, that was an awkward moment for me. And I think about that in the idea of awkward moment. It's kind of like I went up and just asked how she's doing, and yet I made small talk. Many of you may have had similar encounters. Some of you may even had situations where you may hold some bitterness with, and some anger, or maybe just some bad experience you've had, and all of a sudden you, what, run into them, and you really feel awkward and strange. And the idea is you just hope that you quickly can kind of disappear. Again, we try to avoid those moments, but they do come. And again, you may have had experience that. But I have to say the idea is this, that when I look at their epistle lesson that Jim read, and by the way, I want to say I was thankful for Jim in doing that. I did not realize the Old Testament lesson was that long. It was, but it was a wonderful text, and you did a wonderful job. So thank you, Jim. But understanding this, that what we learn is that Saul, who, as we know later on, becomes Paul, had to be in a lot of awkward situations after he converted on the way to Damascus. You see, he had a reputation, didn't he? He had a reputation, and it was not a good one among the early Christians. And in fact, what kind of response does it often get is Paul was walking around in Damascus for his first 3 years after his conversion. Is this that, can you imagine the awkwardness that he had to face with people? What would be their response? What would there be their feelings as early Christians if they see Paul walking down the road? Would that be of fear? Would that be of just plain maybe anger or resentment? You bet. You can't blame them, couldn't you? For here was the man, Saul, who persecuted Christians. In fact, he was there watching the first Christian martyr, that of Stephen, being stoned. He probably authorized it. He was a zealous for the Jewish faith. Something, a miracle happened, an important thing happened, and a transformation in Saul on that road to Damascus. In other words, it is through his encounter with Jesus, he was transformed into a different person, a new person, a new Adam. In other words, he saw Jesus, who he really was to him and to the world. You see, Saul, from that point, received the transformation of Christ's grace, forgiveness, and salvation that is ours through Christ's work. on the cross and his resurrection. Yet, what? Early Christians, the early disciples, what is it that, again, as they see Saul, they can't help but thinking this is a little awkward. I think about that. It was interesting, though. There had to be a lot of, skeptics? There's a lot of doubt in Damascus, Paul. But what did he do? I think this is important in terms of the importance of our main point here this morning, and that is he moved and went out and preached the gospel. You see, that's an important thing to understand in terms of, you know, an understanding, getting. And I want to say this, that the people, the early disciples there, they were amazed. They were skeptic, but they became amazed as he went and preached. And he did so in a way that it certainly stirred up a lot of trouble. In fact, they had to hide him in order to get out of Damascus, to the point that he proclaim Jesus. And I'll tell you, when we proclaim Jesus in this world, there will be disturbances sometimes. But I consider that a good disturbance. And frankly, in our own lives, we all need that little bit of shake-up. But what anyways, that idea is this, that in fact, let's look at what they said in verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. And I want to say, Paul, after 3 years, went to Jerusalem. He knew he had to meet the head of the Christian church there. We're talking about Peter, James, John. We're talking about the beginning of the early Christian church, and the idea is, with his reputation, that was going to be even harder. Thinking about Jerusalem, that is the hub of the persecution that was going on in the formation of the early church. And Saul was in the midst of all that. But I want to say something. In their disciples' fears, their anger, maybe resentment, what do we find? A man named Barnabas. Barnabas. You know the name Barnabas, it's the sons, it means the sons of encouragement. Barnabas was different than everyone else in a lot of ways. In what ways was he different? Well, you see, one thing about him, he did have a reputation among the disciples, and you know what, it was a wonderful reputation, but he saw Saul differently. You know, he really believed with what they were proclaiming right after the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. What is it? The idea that Christ transforms us to new Adam. New person. And yes, we can change. And what Barnabas saw was a transformation. But he saw even more. You think about Saul and eventually Paul, what kind of characteristic did he have? He was a zealous, he was on fire. He did not seem to, he was bold and hardly fear. He was convicted, and certainly he was, to the Gentile, bringing the ministry of Christ to the Gentiles, to you and I. And the idea there, again, he needed a person in the name of Barnabas, that of an encourager, that of a, I consider as a bridge between the old Saul and the now who's become the new Saul. You know, I think about Barnabas and I think about how important three things seem to come out. And it's something we need to kind of look at in our own way, in that, and it's really a model of Christ. And that is what? He, three things. I think of that of hope that he brings. He looks at hope, forgiveness, because Barnabas had to forgive Saul. There's no doubt about it in what he'd done in his reputation, but he had the consequences of that. But then there's a third thing, too, and that is freedom. So hope, forgiveness, and freedom. In other words, knowing if one's forgiven in the Holy Spirit in the individual, that there is freedom in knowing they will, God will use them in such a way that it will benefit the furthering of the kingdom of God. Some time ago, I was reading a book and reading about the 1936 Olympics, and it happened to be in Berlin, Germany, and there was a story specifically about two men. One was Jesse Owens and that of Lutz Long, and the story starts with, certainly there's these two gentlemen both did high jump. And a year before, in 1935, Jesse had broken the world record. I think it was around 26 feet, 8 inches. And so he was definitely the favorite. But at the same time, coming to the Olympics at that time in our history had to be a little bit of a pressure, stress, especially as he was in the qualifying. They were just practicing for qualifying rounds, and he could see this German with the blonde hair man named Long. In his practices, he was jumping 26 feet. He was definitely a little bit nervous. But you know, it's interesting that Lutz Long kind of saw that in Jesse. And he went up to him and introduced himself to Jesse, and it's the idea, as he said, you know, you can jump that qualifying with your eyes closed, because qualifying was 23 feet 5 inches, and but he also saw that Jesse was very nervous, so he suggested to him that he would think about his takeoff spot a couple inches before the line, and you will qualify. You won't have to worry about being rejected on that. So, sure enough, Jesse not only qualified, but he also broke the Olympic record and won one of his four medals that year for that Olympics. And it was interesting that Lutz Long came and just congratulated him as soon as he won, in front of that of Adolf Hitler. Again, he wrote about this to a friend, and he said, you know, I could melt all my medals and cups, and it still would not be enough for the 24-carat, basically, friendship he had with Lutz Long. Again, Lutz being an encourager, we have Barnabas, who definitely was, and Saul felt the same way towards Barnabas as he was beginning his ministry, and being able to connect with the early disciples. You know, again, Barnabas put his reputation on the line, but I think this is important, and Paul must have felt this as he wrote this in Colossians. I'd like to read this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, in perfect unity. Again, the three things that I see in Barnabas certainly is in Christ, but I pray it will be in you, and that there's sheer hope. Forgive. Live in forgiveness and live in the freedom of Christ that he brings us. And live in a way of boldness as well. Look at the good of people, not just the bad. Be, how important it too is not be judgmental, but it's okay to be, I would say, not judgmental, but be discerning. And there's a difference. You know, there's evidence that the fact that I think Barnabas certainly was important in Saul and connecting with the Christian church, as he then says in verse 26, it says this, or 28, and he was with them coming into and going out of Jerusalem. So here he was with them. You know, one thing about mission work, I think this kind of proves that mission work is an inside job. It has to start from inside us. It has to understand that we have that hope in Christ, that we do not hold grudges towards another. We can forgive as we are forgiven through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's an important thing in knowing that too. And the idea is that, I think I wrote down here that the trust in God, do we really trust him? That we can go out and share the gospel, trusting and knowing that he is with us. I also think too that again, growing in his word is important. And I know you're doing that here at Praise Lutheran. You're growing in his word and knowing that, how much that helps us in being able to share that word to others. I want to show the video now of the series that Pastor Seth has been showing to you on AD.
You know, when I was coming here, I was so excited. Barnabas had told me so much about you. And yes, I know what we were to each other before. But I genuinely thought that when I saw you, you more than anyone, I thought it would be incredible. But you just sit there and judge me.
Why do you think he chose you?
Because nobody could have stopped me from getting to you except him. Let's go out. Let's preach his message.
Now we can go out.
Because of you, we've been hiding!
Will you never let this go?
Do none of you practice what you preach?
It's not that easy!
Isn't it? You all bicker and prattle like children when inside each of you is the greatest gift. And you have to share that with mankind. You have to.
And I have to too. You went after my daughter.
Yes, I did. All I've ever done is hurt you, Peter. Jesus should have struck me down, but he didn't. He forgave me. And I must beg you for your forgiveness too. Has he never had to forgive you for anything, Peter? You know, when Ananias came to my house, he told me that Jesus had sent him.
He told Ananias that I will suffer. That I will suffer for his name. Oh, I will never forgive myself for what I did to you, but I am scared. I am so scared that the pain I feel right now is nothing compared to what will come. It would be easier to run.
Again, I think of Peter. He had to forgive as he went out. Forgive Paul. The thing I think about this in this, as I look at this, I look at Paul, you know, he was a lost cause. You would think of that as a Christian, you know, if you knew him as Saul the old. I look at Moses, certainly was a lost cause. He's the one that killed the Egyptian soldier, and then ran away. But yet God found a use for him. I think of David, King David, and what did he do? Murder someone, committed adultery, yet God restored him and used him in an amazing way. I think of Peter denying Christ 3 times. Yet, Jesus went to him, restored him, but then called upon him to go and feed my sheep. Now, my question to you this morning is this. Have you been a lost cause? You know what? We all have. We all have fallen short of the glory of the Lord. But he has come to us and again restored us. And you know what? He's sending you. And I think about that. You know, what a great opportunity I think you have and him has shared. And I think you're growing in his word. But also he's going to be sending you. And then I pray that you can be, God, through the Holy Spirit, guide you. Some people that are lost causes. How many of you have been lost causes in your life? All of us. But yet, he has found us amazing grace. He restores us through his death and resurrection on the cross. And his resurrection from the tomb. And he calls us, he equips you as he is right now. And to be able to, again, maybe it give you opportunities to be that Barnabas, encouraged to share that hope, Christ, to forgive. Be discerning, but don't judge. And also freedom, to share that freedom we have. And you know what? You'll make a Christ-like difference in the world. I know that. And I know it will happen here. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Because what does he say in our gospel lesson? He said, all authority in heaven have given me authority. So that you can go and make disciples, that you can go and teach them all he commands. Could share the good news. And so you can be an encourager. And I want to say, he said this, that I will be with you to the very end of age. That's a promise. Let's live that. Let's live life in that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.